Our next speaker is Paul Halpern. He's speaking on the Washington Conference on Theoretical Physics, Bringing the Spirit of Copenhagen to Foggy Bottom.
Okay, I'd like to talk about a conference right in this city that took place in the 1930s and 40s. In 1934, Merrill Tuve at the Department of Terrestrial Magnetism of the Carnegie Institute in Washington, which is right near here, proposed to the then president of George Washington University, Cloyd Heck Marvin, that a theoretical physics position be created at GWU, and the purpose of the position was to try to bridge the two institutions.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Tuve's choice was George Gamow for a number of reasons. Gamow made his mark at the age of 24 by developing a successful model of alpha decay. He's considered a very prodigious scholar. He did research at Cavendish in Copenhagen. He defected from the Soviet Union in 1933 during the Solvay Conference. And after he defected, he was invited to the University of Michigan by Samuel Goudsmit and became a visiting researcher there for 1 year. There was at the time, briefly, a confluence of interest between Tuve and Gamow because both were interested in being able to penetrate the nucleus through protons and alpha particles. Gamow had worked with Cockcroft, Walton, and Rutherford at Cavendish to calculate nuclear barrier penetration energies. And Tuve was adopting an early Van de Graaff generator at Carnegie to try to generate 600 keV proton beams and bombard lithium. So that is why Tuve was interested in working with Gamow. When Gamow got a reaction from GWU, once Marvin had approved the position, Gamow was really confused because he thought that the letter had come from Washington State, and he promptly bought a ticket to Seattle, and then at the last minute he realized it was Washington, D.C., so he had to exchange that ticket for a ticket to Washington, D.C., which happened to me this morning. So, yeah. Gamow had two conditions for acceptance. He had wanted a position for another theorist. His choice was Teller, and he also... his second condition for acceptance was an annual series of theory conferences. So he wanted a series of conferences that would be modeled after Bohr's Institute of Theoretical Physics in Copenhagen, as well as some of the other places he was familiar with that had annual conferences, Solvay, Leiden under Ehrenfest, and Göttingen. And Marvin agreed to both conditions, and the first theoretical conference in Washington was held on April 19th to 21st, 1935. It was organized by Gamow and also the then director of the Carnegie Institution, who was J.A. Fleming. The theme of the first conference, and you'll see that this is a recurrent theme throughout the conferences, was nuclear physics. And some of the attendees included Bethe and Uhlenbeck. And one of the important topics during the conference was the discussion of why the magnetic moment of the proton differs from the electron. And there was also a discussion of properties of gamma radiation and beta decay. The second conference was held the following year in the spring, and it included more attendees, including Bethe, Harold Urey, Linus Pauling, James Frank, Hertzfeld, Bright, Fowler, Wigner, and Maria Goppert-Meyer. And this was devoted to a discussion of chemistry, chemical properties, and particularly chemical bonds. But there was also much nuclear physics, as you can imagine, in the conference because of the discussion of nuclear isotopes and radioactivity. The third conference I call Copenhagen on the Potomac because you can see prominently Niels Bohr, who this is the first conference he could attend, standing in almost in the front of the group, almost as if this was on the steps of his own institute in Copenhagen. And the conference was dominated by Bohr and discussions of, once again, of nuclear physics. And famously at this conference, Bohr presented the liquid drop model of the nucleus, And it was very well attended, including people such as Robbie and also the young John Wheeler was at the conference. And there was also an introduction of the idea of the Gamow-Teller selection rules for beta decay, which supplemented Fermi's original selection rules. So I see that a lot of the talks today are touching on Fermi's work. Here, Fermi's original selection rules were amended by the Gamow-Teller selection rules, in which the orbital angular momentum can change from by one unit in conjunction with a flip in a spin of a nucleon. The fourth Washington conference had a lot of applications to astrophysics and was dominated by Beta, because Beta was introducing some of his models of how stellar energy is produced through nuclear processes. The next conference is probably the most famous of the Washington conferences. It was held in 1939, and after three out of the four of the earlier conferences were devoted to nuclear physics, and one of them, the chemistry one, had some nuclear physics in it, they said, well, let's do something other than nuclear physics. Let's do low-temperature physics and superconductivity. So that seemed like a good start to the conference to do something different. And attendees included London, who presented work on superfluid liquid helium, Bright, Urey, Fermi, Uhlenbeck, Stern, Rosenfeld, and Bohr, once again, for a second time. However, the goal of sticking to low-temperature physics was soon broken because Bohr came with a very exciting and frightening announcement. And according to Gamow, Bohr phoned him right before the conference and said, Gamow phoned Teller and said that Bohr has gone crazy. He says uranium splits. And Teller immediately realized it had something to do with Hahn and Strassmann's work in Berlin and would eventually imply work on an atomic bomb in Nazi Germany. After Bohr led off the conference with this worrisome news, there was some discussion, but then all of a sudden, according to Teller, there was a sense in the audience that this is something that should not be talked about publicly, and the conference switched back to low-temperature physics. And you can see, if you get a chance to tour Washington during this conference, you can see a plaque at GWU at Corcoran Hall where Bohr made the announcement. And that's a picture of Corcoran Hall today, right on GWU's campus with the plaque. There's a plaque devoted to the announcement and plaques devoted to Gamow and to Teller. The 6th to the 10th conferences I will go through briefly in the interest of time. The 6th one was in 1940 on geophysics, and finally they got away from nuclear physics. The 7th one was on particle physics, and Oppenheimer famously spoke about a theory of mesons. And then the 8th one was on nuclear physics and astronomy, and Gamow at that time was started to get interested in the idea of what eventually was called Big Bang nucleosynthesis. But in 1942, he hadn't really realized he needed to apply general relativity to cosmology and tried to do it without general relativity. And he came up with a statement at the conference that the elements originated in a process of explosive character which took place at the beginning of time, which anticipated his later Big Bang model. Then there was a long gap due to World War II and so many physicists working on the Manhattan Project. The 9th conference was in 1946, and then the 10th conference had a topic of general relativity, which was in 1947, and the attendees included Feynman and Schwinger. This is the final Washington conference, the 10th one in 1947. If you look closely, you can spot Feynman, Schwinger, and others. So the question is, why did they stop in 1947 with the 10th conference? Well, by 1942, Teller had left. He was one of the people behind the original conferences. He went for the Manhattan Project and then off to UChicago with Fermi. Gamow had begun to work more closely with graduate students, particularly Ralph Alpher, and started to move more towards cosmology rather than just pure nuclear physics. And he was interested in applying general relativity and the Freeman-Lemaître solutions of GR to cosmology. Fleming stepped down in 1946. He was the co-organizer of the conference, so he's no longer the head of the DTM at Carnegie. And also, this was sort of the time when specialized meetings started to develop, and there weren't as many general conferences. So in conclusion, was the series of conferences a success? Well, the fifth meeting, the most famous one, alerted American physicists to the danger of a German atomic bomb. It was ironic that the conference intended to emulate Copenhagen in the beginning. That was Gamov's idea. Ended up being galvanized the most when Bohr was actually there. Subsequent meetings in the late 1940s were some of the first to include specialized topics such as biophysics and general relativity. These were among the first, if not the first, conferences in the United States to address these topics. And a lot of very important discoveries were presented about radioactivity, superconductivity, stellar dynamics and nuclear processes. And some of the luminaries, such as Wheeler early on, and then Feynman and Schwinger, made some of their first presentations at these conferences. And this cemented the connection between GWU and the DTM at Carnegie. So that's it. I'd like to acknowledge this. Part of this talk is going to be related to a paper for the Physics in Perspective.
Thank you very much. One or two comments.
For many years, and I think this began in the late 40s, early 50s, the April meeting of the American Physical Society, which was held in April, much better month than the year, was always held in Washington. I'm wondering, was there any connection? Do you know whether there was a connection between that tradition and the institution that we see?
I was wondering about that, although I believe at that time the meeting was held in, correct me if I'm wrong, it was held in, the APS meetings were held in New York around that time?
No, meetings were held in this hotel.
Oh, okay.
In April, when it was a Sheraton hotel.
I see. Okay.
And the other anomaly was that work on helium was held over here, while also it also contained the nuclear physics and high energy physics. So it was, I was wondering about your comment on helium, that one of the conferences was on low temperature physics.
Yes. Yeah, that was one of the first conferences to discuss the theory of superfluid helium. So, yes.
You mentioned that one of these conferences was the was perhaps the first time that the danger of a German atomic bomb was mooted. Do you know when which year was it? And was that before
that was,
the Einstein July letter to Roosevelt?
Oh yes, in fact it helped trigger that letter. It was in 1939, and it was when Bohr just came over from Europe and had been told indirectly through Meitner and that about the work in by Hahn and Strassmann.
The Einstein letter was also 39. The Einstein Zulat letter was 39.
I believe that was after Bohr's announcement.
That was in August of 1939.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So this was the first time many American physicists heard about this work.
Okay, I think we better move along. Thank you very much, Paul. All right.